As you're sharing the gospel and people don't respond as you would have hoped, do you walk away from the encounter discouraged? Pastor Dave Roth offers this bit of encouragement.
Paul and Barnabas would go places and preach, not have a response. We shouldn't feel like we can just, if I'm not leading people to close the deal, then something's not working. We're called to be witnesses of Jesus. We are not called to create converts, to close the deal. There are some people who need to hear about Jesus a lot of times. There are some people who the idea of this being a gift from God is so radical that it may take them a while before they kind of put the pieces together.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hand, and the instrument I play, wake up my voice, let the world hear me say, you are worshiped and exalted here today.
Great to be with you today, and welcome to The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. We're about to continue our series in the book of Acts. As we get back into chapter 13 today, we're following Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. You might think of it as a journal of their fascinating trip. God may or may not call you to leave your home and go to a foreign land, but whether you're in Africa, Aliso Viejo, or New York, you're to be involved in spreading the gospel. Here's Pastor Dave.
In verse 42, when the Jews went out of the synagogue, they were like, The Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. So there were Gentiles there in that synagogue as well. Now, some of them had probably converted to Judaism, so therefore were allowed to come in and actually sit in the synagogue. But the synagogues always were open on the sides, and you could always have spectators who sit on the outside and hear, and that's how you would start showing an interest in Judaism. You wouldn't take somebody from scratch and convince them to be circumcised, right? So they needed to be able to come and listen and soak it up. Well, all these Gentiles are like, I want to know more about this. You're saying that actually Gentiles were prophesied in the Old Testament? Please tell us more. And so in verse 43, the congregation had broken up, and many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. That's pivotal. Continue in the grace of God. It is all about what God has done for us. It's not about what he's trying to get us to do for him. So the next week, they were invited back, but almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. The word spread quickly. There's this rabbi who is saying that God wants to reach Gentiles and that salvation is something that is a free gift. It's something that was accomplished by Jesus on the cross. And so all of a sudden, whoa, a bunch of people came. But verse 45 is so sad. When the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. And contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. So then, quoting scripture, the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, from Isaiah, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Why would the Jews be so bugged that all of a sudden synagogue had more people at it than ever before? Simple. It says they were envious. They couldn't accept that someone could do something different than the way they did it, and it could actually be more attractive to people. So they became jealous. I mean, think of the opportunity. This Antioch, Pisidia, a great, great town with people from all over the world coming to it. An opportunity, you could be the synagogue that understands and appreciates Messiah. And your doors can just be filled. Your synagogue could be packed. You'll have to add on to it. because the radical truth that Yahweh wants to reach Gentiles, this could be huge. But they realized, it's looking huge, but I'm afraid this is going to disrupt our gig. I'm afraid that we could lose control of that which we control. And so they got upset. By the way, don't ever, when you see God seeming to work in somebody else and it's really successful, don't get jealous. And don't turn against something that God might be doing. History is replete with examples of churches that were opposed to something God was doing that was ultimately amazing, but they were so jealous of the success that they blasted it, that they attacked it, that they badmouthed it. It goes on to this day. That's what they were doing at this point too. The Gentiles were happy and glorified God, but the Jewish leaders were envious. So the word of God was being spread throughout all the region in verse 49. But in verse 50, the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. So the women's ministry had had enough. It's this term for prominent women, it doesn't mean powerful women. It actually means the attractive women, ultimately. That somehow they got together and they got their husbands on their side. You know, perhaps saying, and a lot of times women behind the scenes trying to run things, or don't mean to offend you women because I don't want you attacking me behind my back. But no, it was, they stirred it up. They were probably telling their husbands, these new guys, they're trying to take your job. They're threatening our way of life. You can't put up with this. So they organized a movement to kick out Paul and Barnabas. They stirred them up and they expelled them from their region. But look at verse 51. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and just went on to the next city, Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So I love the fact that ultimately, though they are driven away, they saw that God had done some cool things, and they were happy. But also, they were willing to brush the dust off their feet. That was a tradition that they did in those days. It just meant, like, we would probably just say, you know what, I'm done with you. I'm writing you off. You don't want me here, I'm out of here. And they did that, but not with anger. They did it with great joy. I mean, a couple things I see in the disciples here. What a flexibility. It's like, if it's not working here, I'll move somewhere else. Even if it works here, but I'm getting a lot of opposition, I'm always open to move. I'll go try something else. They had this amazing flexibility about them, that they weren't rigid, that they didn't take a stand, again, call out the... It's interesting that the ladies who were instrumental in getting them kicked out, that they called them attractive women. I would have at least said a bunch of old hags had done this, but it's like, nah, they're not bitter. They're like, it's okay. That the disciples, Paul and Barnabas, understood, sometimes God will use all sorts of things to make me, to lead me, to move me in a different direction. And they were like, okay, and they counted it as joy. They were like, great joy that all this had happened. So, man, this is a great start to their first missions trip. You see the transition of Barnabas and Saul to where then it's referring to Paul and Barnabas. These amazing, you know, a Roman official getting converted, a spiritualist getting blinded, a synagogue opening the doors to Gentiles, and now the start of a church there that couldn't be controlled by people who were still living in the ancient past, and moving on to other things. So a few major takeaways that I have from this passage. First of all, our mission is to spread the word of the gospel wherever that we can. You know, and our message, even as they understood there in Antioch, Syria, we're supposed to be sending people out as God lays it on their heart. We would much rather just build something where everyone stays. And I know it's always, as a pastor, you know, whenever people move away and you know, God leads them somewhere else, it can be frustrating. But I realize God's going to have people here for a time. Some of them have been here for a long time, and that's great. But then there are others who come here for a while, learn some things. God does some things in their life, and they realize they can go somewhere else. I kid about people who are fleeing California to go to Idaho or Texas or, you know, with Carolinas or Tennessee or wherever. But in reality, I'll be honest with you, as long as people are leaving for the right reasons, they're not running, but they're following, I'm excited about that, because it's what we're supposed to do as God's people. We aren't here to form a little holy club for just us. We're here to send people out, and this church had the heart to do that. In a few weeks, Pastor Anson and his wife Joy and their girls are moving to Texas, and Anson's going to start a church out there. Now, it's hard. I'm very attached to them, known them forever, watched the kids grow up, and I don't like seeing people leave. But the thought that somehow that our church can play a part in people, and you might go, come on, Texas. There's so many churches in Texas. But how many churches are there in Texas that are really faithfully, this isn't a slam on any Texas church, but are really sharing the gospel in a way that's just simply studying the Word of God and understanding that salvation is a gift from God? I think those kind of churches are needed everywhere. So where they end up there and how their church goes, I'm excited about it. It's a part of our mission to send people out. And as soon as we start just hanging on and just going, oh, I'm staying here no matter what, then we stop being what we are really called to be. We all have to be open to that, for sure. That was the power that caused the church to blow up in the book of Acts. But also, when we're sharing the gospel, strong responses are almost always going to be the case one way or the other. When you tell somebody about Jesus, typically, they don't just go, eh, whatever. I mean, maybe some do. But typically, either people are so grateful to hear that God wants to give them salvation and forgiveness for free that they eat it up. And other people get really mad or are really threatened by it. Strong responses are expected. And you cannot judge the success of your ministry based on the responses of the people, because they would do the same thing in different areas, and some huge responses, others mostly run out of town after a response. But the gospel does that. We should expect it. There are people who are hungry and there are people who are religious. Usually religious people are the hardest people to reason with, because they've invested in a system that they believe in. Whether they are from some other cult or religion, or whether their perception of Christianity is so ingrained in them that they judge everything that they hear based on what they think they've already heard and what they already know. They don't have an openness to anything that might expand their awareness, and we should expect that. The simple truth of the gospel can be divisive. But I also, from this story, I just can't forget how destructive envy is when you see that it seems like God's working. Whether you're the psychic in Cyprus or whether you are the synagogue in Antioch, Pisidia, be really careful when you see something that seems like it's working and your response is to marginalize it, discount it, or try to find the ugly underbelly of the whole thing and prove that it's wrong based on the fact that it's not like what you're used to. Because there is something within each of us that really doesn't want to believe that there are people who are actually enjoying success that we're not enjoying. Because the way we feel secure is to think we're doing it right, and anybody who does it differently than we do has a problem. And then we are especially envious of their success. Man, when you hear that something big is going on and it's in the name of Jesus, don't just marginalize it. Don't just go, wow, they're probably this. I bet they're, well, they sure don't teach the whole gospel, or they, you know, they're not teaching the Word of God verse by verse like we do or whatever. Be really careful. It's one of the most blinding things to the work of God is when you get jealous of other people's success. I've seen this over and over again. I see it all the time. If there is someone that it seems like God is using because people are coming, like the second Saturday in Antioch, Pisidia, how about instead thinking, wow, there must be a reason why people are so drawn to this. I wonder what that reason is. Here's an opportunity for me to learn. Why is it that these people would never come to synagogue and now they are? I wonder why. And that's something that I think we can learn even from groups that are teaching some pretty aberrant theology. We should at least look at them and go, let me not just assume that the reason they're popular is because the demons make people come. Let me instead go, where they are scratching somewhere where people itch. What can I learn from this? These guys didn't learn it, and as a result, lost out hugely. But also, when you're serving God, when you're sharing the gospel, don't judge your success based on your results. Don't focus on results at all. Now, there are things that can be learned from results. Like if you're somebody that's talking to people about the Lord all the time and every one of them gives the same response, you're an idiot, you're weird, you're sick, maybe you ought to consider that. Maybe God's speaking to you. If you are weird, it might come off. But also there are plenty of really weird, kooky people who've brought, many of us probably came to the Lord partly from somebody who was kind of kooky in one way or another. But so Paul and Barnabas would go places and preach, not have a response. We shouldn't feel like we can just, if I'm not leading people to close the deal, then something's not working. We're called to be witnesses of Jesus. We are not called to create converts, to close the deal. There are some people who need to hear about Jesus a lot of times. There are some people who the idea of this being a gift from God is so radical that it may take them a while before they kind of put the pieces together. There's a movie out now, a video that, and one thing in the video, there's this guy that I know loves the Lord and really wants to share the gospel, but he's like forcing this guy to become a Christian. And you can see it. He's arguing with him so much about the Ten Commandments and everything. And finally, the guy like gives in. Okay, fine, I'll pray. But it's like, no, that's not how it works. Just getting people. I remember years ago when I first came to this church, they had a big street witnessing ministry. And they would go out every week and hit people up and bug people at the mall and stuff. And they kept a spreadsheet of all their converts. And they reported to me on this spreadsheet that this year we had, I think it was 176 people accept the Lord. And I said, oh, cool. How many of them like go to our church or go to any church that you know of? And they're like, well, there's this one guy kind of for a while. But see, that's to assume that you're not getting results doesn't tell you everything. But also to just do something and ignore results, for them, they realized, if it's not working here, I'm going to move somewhere else. I'm going to mix up my approach. I'm going to try a different attack. But at the same time, don't feel like a loser because in a particular situation, you've been witnessing to somebody and they don't want Jesus. Because remember, Jesus was rejected by almost everyone that he preached to. So you're not really going to come up with better results than him. And chances are, if you're like, you know, I preached to 1,000 people and 900 of them accepted the Lord. Well, congratulations, you're better than Jesus, or you're delusional, one or the other, con man. Finally, being filled with the Holy Spirit and being filled with joy are the same thing. It's why, you know, Paul says the fruit of the Spirit. You want to know what if the Holy Spirit's working in your life? Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. That's what being filled with the Spirit looks like. And there's no better time to be tested on your spiritual standing before God than when you don't get your way, when you get pushed around, or an election doesn't go your way, or a job doesn't go your way, or a relationship doesn't go your way. Hey, congratulations. Here's your chance to show what you're truly made of. Do you really just want to get your way? Or is the Holy Spirit working in your life in such a way that when doors are slammed and when you don't get what you want, you can just go, I am full of joy because I'm full of the Holy Spirit, knowing that His plan is greater than ours. These guys were chased out of town, and they're like, awesome. Isn't it great to serve the Lord and be persecuted? Paul kept this attitude his whole life after he was stoned multiple times, imprisoned, beaten so many times. And it's like they couldn't squeeze the joy out of him because he knew that he was sharing in the sufferings of Jesus. And he knew he was doing what he was called to do. And he didn't look at it as, I mean, and believe me, Paul had no idea that those little letters that you're scrawling out are going to become half the New Testament. He didn't know that. He was, you can see in his letters, he was wondering, hoping that somebody's still saved in the churches that he loved, going, well, all these churches I ministered to, only one of them, that little church in Philippi, that I ever even get letters from. And so he didn't know what the results were, but he counted it all joy. When people were stabbing him in the back, he rejoiced because he realized, I get to serve God. I get to do what He has called me to do. It's such a great way for us to check our hearts. Are we, not like, are we being good? Being good never saved anyone. Being good will give you a much better life, no question about it. But being joyful, that's the test of spirituality. And can we do that when things happen that don't go the way we hoped they would? These guys are total examples of this, and I love that.
You're listening to The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolfe and a part of a series in Acts called Fresh Church. Hear it again online at thebalancedword.com. You can also call and request the CD at 949-362-7475. Again, we're online at thebalancedword.com, and the number is 949-362-7475. We also offer The Balanced Word by podcast. Listen to Pastor Dave on Apple Podcasts. You can find us by searching for Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. And have you had a chance to see Pastor Dave's one-minute messages on Instagram and Facebook? It's a great way to start the day with hope and encouragement, straight from the Scriptures. Search for CC Pacific Hills, or you can sign up to have them delivered to you when you visit thebalancedword.com. Today, we're also pleased to offer you Pastor Dave's series, Basic Theology. In it, he discusses the inerrancy of Scripture, the problem of evil, eschatology, the Holy Spirit, and more. We'll send you all 16 messages on a USB thumb drive. It's available right now for your gift of $20 or more to The Balanced Word. Just call 949-362-7475 or request this special offer at thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to pray for you. Contact us today through the website at thebalancedword.com and let us know how we can pray for you. Join us for a service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in person or online. Our Sunday morning services begin at 8, 9:45, and 11:30 Pacific Time. Find more details and watch the live stream at ccpacifichills.org or watch us through Roku. Search for Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel on your Roku TV. All right, let's look to the Lord in prayer before we close.
Lord, thank You for this little history lesson in Acts 13. As we see in the infancy of missions, outreach, church, we see how You work, and we really see that throughout our church history, it's not that much different. Opportunities to share Your grace, people who are opposed to Your grace, people who are jealous when it works, and people who want to pile rules and responsibilities and obligations on people where you do none of the above. Thank you for giving us such a solid example in history to understand how it is that we are to serve you, that we are to be your people. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our study of Acts resumes next time on The Balanced Word with Dave Roth. This radio ministry is listener-supported and brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play.